Well, Paul wrote to Timothy, and you know that Timothy was trained under Paul, that he considered him a son in the faith. And he writes to Timothy some direction. Now, Timothy's a pastor. We accept that. We understand. He's a preacher. He's a pastor. And so we might say, well, a lot of the stuff that he says to Timothy does not apply to us. But please understand something. We're all in the ministry. We are all, as children of God, called in the ministry. And we're supposed to not only participate in our local assembly and pray for each other and love each other, but we have a ministry to the world. You know, the reason the church exists is to reach the lost. We're not here just to love each other. I mean, that's a nice benefit of it. But we're supposed to love the world. We're supposed to reach the world with the gospel. And as he writes to Timothy here, he says, I charge thee therefore before God. Now, that's serious. Sometimes we say things we don't want God to hear, right? But Paul says to Timothy, I'm saying this in front of God. I want you to understand something. God, on record with God, I charge you. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and in his kingdom. What's the charge? The charge is preach the word. I think about all these stories I could tell. And I think about how, you know, all these great stories. I listen to lots of different preachers, and there are great stories that would drive the point home. But I think that we can get it just from reading God's word. I really believe that preaching the word of God is more important than all that other stuff. I'm not against stories. I'm not against jokes. But I will say that I've had people supply for me, not here, but in other places. And I had somebody come in and supply. And afterwards I said, well, what did you think of Brother So-and-so? And they said, boy, he had some good jokes. I said, what did he preach about? Don't remember. But he told some good jokes. Now, I'll tell you something. That's not what I have in mind when I have somebody fill the pulpit. I want somebody that's going to preach. I don't mind if you tell a joke. Now, hopefully it'll be funny, better than mine, I hope. But preach. Preach the word. And that's what we're here for. And that's why it's line upon line. And I know, guys, a lot of people don't do that. There's not expository preaching out there. Especially among independent Baptists. Baptists like to do subject preaching. They like to take a phrase out of the Bible or a term out of the Bible and just go to town and yell for 30 minutes. True? And beg you to amen them. And then if you're not amen loud enough, they'll get on those little pet peeves that Baptists have and start talking about those things. And I'm going to tell you something. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Just preach the word. There's so much in here. You'll never exhaust it. In fact, I looked at this text, and I know some of you keep notes on when I preach these things. You see a verse in your Bible, and you'll have a little note next to it that says, Brother Derek preached this such and such time. And I used to really avoid preaching it too close together. I'd make sure they were years apart. But now, if the Lord lays it on my heart, I don't care if I preached it last month, I'll preach it again. And if I feel it's something we need to address, we just address it. But I really, where I go in my Bible, there's a date, and it shows me when I've preached it here. Sometimes I'm shocked because it's something I'm very familiar with, and I think I've preached it recently, but it's been 15 years or 10 years. And I think this one was maybe a year. But Paul said, preach the word. Preach the word. There's enough in here to keep us occupied that we don't need anything else. Preach the word. He says, be instant in season. Be ready. Be ready. And I believe it was E.L. Johns told me one time, he said, Brother Derek, if you'll be reading your Bible, you'll always have something to preach. Now, any preacher that doesn't have something to preach hasn't been reading his Bible. That's true, isn't it? I know. If you read your Bible, you got something to say. It may not be what everybody wants to hear, but it's in there. And God's so smart, isn't he, Brother Ronnie? He lines it up with the Holy Spirit. He gives us just what we need when we need it. And it's amazing to me how that he'll line them up together if he's got us preaching on the same text. Be instant in season and out of season. Be ready. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Here's what he's saying there. He's saying, Timothy, you take the word of God and put it on them. There are a lot of people. I heard what the Roar said about Latvia. And they say there's not a biblical sound church in the whole country that they're aware of. That's incredible, isn't it? Hard for us to imagine that. Somebody somewhere back down the road dropped the ball and didn't carry it forward. He says put it on them, and then it's up to them. I can't guarantee you that anybody will get saved. But what I can guarantee is that it's my job to put it on them and let them make the decision. I can't save them. It's not up to me to decide if they get saved or not. It's up to them. But it's my job to put the burden on them. I wonder how many people in this country, one thing to talk about a foreign land around the world, but in this country, how many people in our community, how far would we have to drive before we find one person that says, I don't understand the gospel? I bet it's not far. And we're reaching out. We're trying to reach our community. But we've got to give a clear presentation that you are a sinner, that we are sinners. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How clear is it? I appreciate every time I hear y'all on the radio reading those texts. And I love hearing our people reading those on our commercial. A clear presentation of the gospel. And when I get phone calls, that's what I get. They say, Pastor, I want you to know I appreciate that you're giving a clear presentation of the gospel. And there's not a word said until the little tag at the end of anything except straight out of the Bible. Because people can get saved without my opinion. People get saved by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Give them the word. Give them the word. And then he says something just shocking, isn't it? He said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that's ever going to happen? Now, as we talk about Revelation, as we've just completed our study of the book of Revelation, we talked about all of these things that show us clearly that we are at the dawning of those days. At the threshold. And we all said, hey, we've heard that it's going to happen. We heard these things preached all of our lives. But we never really believed that it was true. How many of you watched the Jetsons and thought that can't be true? Or Buck Rogers, right? I mean, we're so far advanced in technology and understanding and knowledge, just like the book of Daniel told us we would be. And here we are. And also, he says, they will not endure sound doctrine. You say, well, Pastor, that's nothing new. I know. Sadly, it's nothing new. How awful that we find ourselves in days where even people that claim to be saved and claim to be churched are turning away from the truth. It's awful. They will not endure sound doctrine. Well, what will they do? Well, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, following after their own lusts. Now, I'll be honest with you. I like routine. I like what I like. They come out with these new movies. I don't even care. I like the old stuff. Come out with the new music. I like the old stuff. Every once in a while, something new comes along. Hey, that's nice. But I'm old-fashioned. My wife would have amen that all day long. I'm old school. But there are people who are looking for something new and something different and something that will tickle them and something that will give them goosebumps. Guys, the stuff we talked about in Sunday school this morning goes all the way back. That's my kind of stuff. I don't need some new doctrine. I don't need some new teaching. I don't need some new program. I'm not against programs. And if there's some truth in the Bible that I haven't discovered, I want to find it. I want to dig in there and get it. I'm not looking for anything new. I like the old stuff. But there are people who will fish around at different churches and different denominations and different preachers looking for some new thing. By the way, I listen to the Christian radio and I hear some preachers on there and I wonder how they got on there by the stuff that they teach. And they probably would wonder the same thing about me. But the difference is I can show you where I got mine. I can show you where my ideas come from. Heaping to themselves, teachers having it, and people say, well, what do you believe about such and such? Well, this is what the Bible says. That's the answer. Well, brother so-and-so says, well, brother so-and-so needs to read the Bible. And I do run across that quite a bit. They'll heap to themselves teachers something new. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, verse 4, and shall turn to fables. You know what they like? Entertainment and stories and jokes. Paul told Timothy that's what's going to happen. Now, growing up, our church was, you know, just like any church, it had its ups and downs. There were some days you'd get there and it'd be full, and other days you'd just pick wherever you want to sit. And I can remember being told growing up, well, you know, the church is never going to thrive as long as we teach the truth. I disagree with that. I disagree with that. I think Capitol Heights is doing pretty good. I mean, don't misunderstand me. We're not done. We still got room to grow. And we need to keep growing. Souls still need to be saved. Lives still need to be changed. But we're going to preach the truth and we're going to expect it to work. And we're not going to make excuses. I'll tell you whose fault it is if people aren't getting saved. It's not God's fault. It falls here. But people are turning to fables. That's true. Well, some people have come through here and they say, well, you don't have enough kids programs. If all the people who came through here with their kids would have just stayed, we'd have had more kids. We knew what to do with. But they didn't. There weren't 40 other kids the day they showed up, so they didn't want to stay. They need kids programs. I said this morning in brotherhood meeting, what the kids need is consistent Bible teaching, period. Not against games. When I was youth pastor, we played volleyball and went bowling and whatever we could do, skating, whatever. We had outings. We had fun. Went to camp and state youth and all that kind of stuff. But you know what they got? Every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, they got Bible, 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 Bible. Because that's what they need. I'm not against pizza, but they need Bible more than they need pizza. One thing I've learned, if you'll give them pizza, they'll sit still and listen to the Bible. He says in verse number 5, watch thou in all things. Who's supposed to be paying attention? We are. Timothy, who's supposed to be paying attention? You are. Watch thou in all things. Now, of course, he's talking about prayer. He's talking about a prayerful watch. Endure the afflictions. And I was talking to someone the other day, and he said, I just don't know if I could do it. I said, what? He said, pastor. I said, why? He said, well, because of all the headaches. Now, I'll be honest with you. It's not without headaches. It's not without heartaches. Some of you have been exposed to some of that. And I'm sorry that's the case. When God calls you to pastor, that's what you do. You endure the hardships. You endure the afflictions. The affliction, what is affliction? The affliction is something somebody else is putting on you. And so understand something, pastoring is not easy. There'll be some hard times and there'll be some fights along the way. I faced that early in my ministry. And there was a time where I stood against almost everybody in the church. And the vote was split. Well, it was a tie vote, which means the moderator had to pass the final vote. And I tell you, you don't want to be part of a church that's divided like that. It's miserable. I faced that stuff early in my ministry. But it was a fight worth fighting. Sometimes you just have to endure. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Reach people for Jesus. Make full proof of that ministry. You know, I want to be wore out when I die. I don't know about y'all. I do. I want to be wore out. I want to go just to... They make those batteries, those lithium batteries now. What do they tell you? They sell you. They're going to go full force until they're dead. That's what I want to do. I want to be like a lithium battery. I want to go full force till I'm gone. I want to be able to stay in the ministry and preach the gospel and reach people for Christ and minister. That's my desire. And I know that's your desire also. Paul said, make full proof of your ministry. Verse 6, Paul says this. We'll read verse 6 through 8. He said, I'm now ready. You know what Paul's saying? He said, I'm tired. I'm wore out. I'm now ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. He knew he was about to lose his head. Knew he was about to be executed. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. But you notice something? He's still going, isn't he? He's still going. He's writing, I finished my course. I kept the faith. But he didn't quit. He's still going. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also which love his appearing. Are we ready for Jesus to come back? Are we excited about Jesus coming to take us home? I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to heaven. I keep looking at next week and next month, and I keep thinking next week it'll be better. Next week it'll be easier. Next month it'll be slower. Next month I'll be able to relax. Next month, always. Next week, next month. There's work to do. There's work to do. In verse 9, we can see his longing for Timothy to have the fellowship. Do thy diligence. Come shortly unto me. He loves his brother. He loves his brother in the faith. I want you to know something. I love our church. I love our church. I do. I love our brothers and sisters in the church. And I enjoy fellowship. And I look forward to coming to church. I look forward to being here. And it's a letdown for me when it's time to shut down on Sunday night. It really is. I love our church. Verse 10, as much as he loves Timothy, he shares in verse 10 that Demas has forsaken me and, having loved this present world, has departed to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Well, some are in the ministry and they have jobs to do. Only one, he says, has given up and backslidden. It's hard. Oh, it's hard. As parents, you know what it is for our children to do wrong. And it's no different when it comes to pastoring. It's heartbreaking when people backslide. To watch them make decisions that they will regret. Decisions that are going to hurt them. Decisions that are contrary to the divine nature that the Lord has placed in us. And yet all we can do. Guys, I want you to know something. I love you. And if you leave here, and I've told people this before, I love you and I don't want you to go, but I'm not going to stop you from going. And if you call me in a month, I'm still going to be your friend. We had 10 visitors last week. They had already made plans to be somewhere else today. But I expressed to them that they're looking for a church. They want to join a church somewhere. And I said, I want you to understand something. While you're searching for a church and you're not really in good fellowship with your old pastor, if you need a pastor, I'm here for you. So I've ministered to people that didn't have a church, that waited till it was too late to try to find a church. And it was in their final hours and final days, but they needed a minister. I hate it. I'm so broken when people backslide. And especially when they throw hand grenades at the church on their way out. People do that. And I'm sorry that's the case. There's a sorrow over those who backslide. But you know what? Every time that they've come back, I've loved them just like they never left. Because that's what we're supposed to do as a church. That's what we're supposed to do as family. And not just because that's what we're supposed to do, because I love them. You stab me in the back, I still love you. I might bleed on you, but I love you. We need to know that. Verse 11, we're almost there. Only Luke is with me. I'm so glad Luke was there. I'm so glad Luke was there. This is the phrase I really wanted to get to. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You see, Mark was one of those backslid. Mark went on the missionary journey, John Mark, and he was so excited to go. Please let me go. And they took him. And after their first stop, John Mark said, I'm going home. Paul got mad. He was mad. He didn't try to hide his anger. He said, you're leaving, you're quitting. I'm not in favor of quitters. That's what Paul was saying. They went on later, came back, and then Barnabas said, hey, John Mark wants to go with us. And Paul said, he's not going with me. I'm not taking quitters on my trip. Not taking backsliders. Not taking people who, as Jesus said, when you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Paul said, I'm not having it in my ministry. I'm so glad. He finally reached a point where he said, I believe in John Mark. I'm glad he finally reached the point and said, I know he backslid, and I made him prove it, but he said he's proven himself. The restoration of relationships. Understand something. This book is all about relationships. The commandments, all about relationships. Our relationships matter. Our relationships are what make us who we are. And I'm glad that Paul, in his writing to Timothy, put that simple phrase about John Mark, he is profitable to me for the ministry. God, we thank you for your love and your grace and pray you will draw us to you, that you will forgive our sins and make us useful. As we examine these things tonight that Paul wrote to Timothy, we're challenged. We're challenged to stay in the Word. We're challenged to be ready, instant, in season, out of season. We're challenged to not look back, to not backslide, to not give up, but to fight a good fight, to love your appearing, and to love those around us. Lord, forgive our sins. Make us useful to your purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.